In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you, and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God,
we confess that we are captives of sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, forgive us, forgive us.
In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us, and for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
Thank you.
O God of justice and love, you illumine our way through life with the words of your Son. Give us the light we need and awaken us to the needs of others. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
Be seated.
A reading from Amos. Alas, for you who desire the day of the Lord, why do you want the day of the Lord? It is darkness, not light, as if someone fled from a lion and was met by a bear, or went into the house and rested a hand against the wall and was bitten by a snake. Is not the day of the Lord darkness, not light, and gloom with no brightness in it? I hate, I despise your festivals, and I take no delight in your solemn assemblies, even though you offer me your burnt offerings and grain offerings. I will not accept them, and the offerings of well-being of your fatted animals I will not look upon. Take away from me the noise of your songs. I will not listen to the melody of your harps, but let justice roll down like waters, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. The word of the Lord. We will read the psalm responsively. Please read the bold print. Be pleased, O God, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Let those who say to me, "Aha," and gloat over me, turn back because of their shame. But as for me, I am poor and needy. Come to me quickly, O God. You are my helper and my deliverer. O Lord, do not tarry. A reading from 1 Thessalonians. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about those who have died, so that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have died. For this we declare to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will by no means precede those who have died. For the Lord himself, with a cry of command, with the archangel's call, and with the sound of God's trumpet, will descend from heaven, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up in the clouds together with them to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to the disciples, "Then the kingdom of heaven will be like this. 10 bridesmaids took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. When the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, all of them became drowsy and slept. But at midnight, there was a shout, 'Look, here's the bridegroom. Come out to meet him.' Then all those bridesmaids got up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the wise replied, 'No, there will not be enough for you and for us. You'd better go to the dealers and buy some for yourselves.' While they went to buy it, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready went with him into the banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the other bridesmaids came also, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he replied, 'Truly I tell you, I do not know you. Keep awake, therefore, for you neither know the day nor the hour.'" Beloved children of God, this is the good news, the gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Weddings, like some other events in our society, I often refer to as times in which we have to hurry up and wait. Right? That's just the whole day of hurry up and wait. It definitely would have been like that in how weddings took place in Jesus' culture. In the evening of a wedding, the bride and the bridesmaids would wait at the bride's parents' home. They're waiting for the groom to come to escort the entourage of bridesmaids, the bride and the bridesmaids with his entourage, with music and dancing to the site of the wedding. But they didn't know the exact time in which the groom's going to come. It's unpredictable. So you had to be prepared for everything that would be involved for the wedding to take place. So the bridesmaids needed to be ready. But in our parable, the groom is more delayed than usual. But with that said, they would have known that this is going to take place at night, right? They would know that the length that the oil lasts in those lamps, or if they were belonging to a poorer class, they would have had rags dipped in oil in the torches. They would have been changing that out maybe every 15 minutes or so. There's a limited amount of time that light's going to stay, those lamps are going to stay lit. So they know that they need to be prepared and are not. And if you're like me and you're wondering why the wise are not sharing the oil, it's because if that were to happen, everybody would wind up with very little, and it would ruin the whole wedding procession. Now, in this time, too, if you thought you've been at some long weddings, or you're like, oh, that's a Saturday, I'm not getting back, these celebrations lasted as long as 7 days. So we're far more shorter in how we celebrate weddings today. And, well, at least in our culture, there's still some cultures that have longer festivities when it comes to these things. And guests would have been coming and going, right? If it's a long celebration like this. So the door, when the foolish bridesmaids finally show up, that door is locked for them not to get in. Not the other guests are coming and going, but they're not allowed in. And we're left with some, I think, harsh and disturbing rhetoric here. The importance of keeping awake, of being prepared. But it can be traumatizing. And I know it has been traumatizing to people in the church over the years. Because if I just let my guard down for a moment, what could happen to me? Could I be locked out of God's presence? There are certainly Christians who have used this passage and continue to use it to terrorize Christians and non-Christians and generating anxiety, which is the opposite of the hope that we should be preaching. But they do that to kind of play up on that anxiety. And I would just ask the question, who is this parable aimed at? Who could the audience be? Now, when looking at our theme from our first lesson in Amos, again, it's the insiders that have some thinking about it. It's the people who are religious that need to look in the mirror and reflect. It's we who can be asleep and negligent. If anybody's familiar with the translation known as the Message, this is the last section of that translation of our first lesson of Amos. I can't stand your religious meetings. I'm fed up with your conferences and conventions. I want nothing to do with your religion projects, your pretentious slogans and goals. I'm sick of your fundraising schemes, your public relations and image making. I've had all I can take of your noisy ego music. When was the last time you sang to me? Do you know what I want? I want justice, oceans of it. I want fairness, rivers of it. That's what I want. That's all I want. Now, that should sting each of us a little bit, right? Because life, including a life of faith, can feel at times like one big hurry up and wait. But what happens, especially I think for us in our culture, we're not good at waiting, are we? We grow impatient very quickly. Not just waiting for the second coming of Christ, but waiting for God to give us some guidance, waiting for God to alleviate our suffering, waiting for God to give us some peace. We say we want the day of the Lord to come. But what is the day of the Lord? Well, it's not always clear. In Amos, there's two ideas of this. It's something that developed in the mid-8th century in Israel. And there are two views of how it's been understood. Some think it's a concept of holy warfare. Battles conducted at God's bequest. With God's aid, often with annihilation of the enemy. The day of the Lord meant victorious battle. Others trace it back to this great festival in the autumn, celebrating the God of Israel as God and King. The day of the Lord referred to this annual event, and by extension, God's rule would bring peace and a promise of prosperity to all. But neither view is certain. But what we see here in Amos is expectations of what the day of the Lord is about has been reversed. He says the day of the Lord would be like a pitched dark gloom. And as one commentary put it, with all these metaphors that Amos puts together, it's the ancient equivalent of out of the frying pan and into the fire. When we come, and the warning we get, I believe, from Amos is that when we become impatient, when we take matters into our own hands, when we focus on ourselves and we become so inwardly focused, we become foolish, we become unprepared, we're certainly self-absorbed. And even though we fail to provide oceans of justice that God desires, for us that have been invited to the kingdom of heaven, when we're not focusing on ourselves, we can point to Jesus, who makes things right, who makes all things new. When we point to Christ on the cross, we point to the one who has overcome sin, evil, and death itself. Christ makes things right, and we're invited to the wedding banquet that is the kingdom of heaven. The question is, I think the challenge in our gospel lesson and in our first lesson today is, do we rejoice in that good news? Do we have faith and trust in that? Is there hope in that? Is faith, hope, and love lighting our lamps in such a way where we don't live foolishly in this world, but enable us to be prepared to help light the way of the kingdom that is here and that is to come? Now, there have been those in our culture in recent times, and when I say recent, I mean recent history when we think about the life of the church, that have developed an obsession with the so-called rapture. And the irony of believing that if you're going to keep awake, you got to wait for this time where you're going to be snatched up into the sky. But for many, that just keeps them distracted, wondering when that's going to happen, not being a signpost of the kingdom that's already broken through, and seeing the future as something that might only be light years away. Creates a disregard for the neighbor and the planet, because one is then obsessed with being assured that they're not going to be left behind. No call for justice, no joyous invitation, but just that anxiety of being locked out. But N.T. Wright reminds us some things of what's going on in our second lesson from 1 Thessalonians. Because what Paul is doing, he's giving us a lot of Old Testament imagery here. First, I'd say that the hope is about the dead rising. He's actually emphasizing the resurrection of the body. And so those of us who have lost loved ones, he's giving us that hope, reminding us that hope that we have in Christ. Not raptured up, so to speak, and meeting Christ in the air, but that the dead will rise again. That's the main goal of Christianity, is the resurrection of the body. What do we say in the creed? Die and go to heaven, or the resurrection of the body and the life of the world to come, right? So to read it in this kind of goal of just being snatched up in the sky would be a mistake, according to Wright. It's not a disembodied life meeting God in a midair heaven, but a re-embodiment of God's people to live with and God in the new heaven and the new earth. So when Paul talks about Jesus descending, it's not, we don't want to think a literal physical understanding of this. Jesus isn't in another location within our space, but another dimension. The language of descending, like all metaphors, Wright points out, is risky. But notice in Colossians chapter 3, verse 4, he talks about Jesus just appearing, emerging from the presently hidden world of heaven, as heaven and earth are lastly united. We forget that, I think, at times, as Christians, is that in Christ, heaven and earth are joined together. We talk about the communion of saints, right? We're not separated from the communion of saints. Heaven and earth are together. I think sometimes we talk about these things as if they're all separate still. But in Christ, it's one. It's one. And there's also these different Old Testament images that we get that the Thessalonians would have picked up on. Like in Exodus chapter 19, verse 16 to 25, we have Moses going up the mountain and there's smoke, right? He gets the law and he comes back. So it's that vertical ascent. And then even Daniel, the language of being taken from Daniel, where one, like a son of man, goes up in the clouds and he is vindicated by God after his suffering. That's an image that the Thessalonians would have held on to, who were suffering persecution and longing for God's vindication. So what does this meeting the Lord mean? Well, Wright reminds us that the image and language that Paul uses would remind his readers the way Roman citizens in a colony would go out to meet the emperor as he approaches the town to pay them estate visits. The citizens would meet the emperor and then accompany the emperor back to the city itself. So likewise, we will meet Jesus and accompany him back to the new earth where he will reign forever. That's the vision that we're talking about here. So in this apocalyptic image we have, God coming to meet us, it's to ultimately dwell with us. Not us going up, but God coming back down. You know, you've heard me say many times that if I would create another symbol for our faith, it would be an arrow pointing down, right? Because God comes to us. We don't go up to God. God comes down to us. And even though our lives can feel like a hurry up and wait, and we grow impatient, but it's the means of grace that God gives to us that sustains us. Word and sacrament keep our lamps lit. The means of grace fill us with faith, hope, and love to endure because we're able to cling to those promises and the presence of Christ who is with us. The kingdom is both an already, but not yet. And with faith, trusting in those promises of Christ, we pray that our lamps would be lit in such a way that we could light the way for others to see Christ's kingdom right here and right now. That with the hope that we have in Christ making all things new, that our lamps would be lit in such a way that it could be signposts of the kingdom that is here and that is to come. Hope to the grieving and those in mourning that the faithfully departed are in God's eternal embrace and will rise again. And with the love that we receive for Christ, from Christ, that we would share the love of Jesus with the world, that those lamps may be lit in such a way where justice would shine in the midst of darkness. Justice would prevail in such a way that God's justice would be seen right here and right now. And as we gather for worship around word and sacrament, who do we meet and receive? Jesus, right? So like meeting the emperor at a state visit, heaven on earth in worship, we meet Jesus here. And what happens? We're sent back out. We go back out with the promise that Christ is with us, sent from this place into the world to share the good news of God's love in Jesus that will reign and does reign now, and will reign forever. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please rise as you're able.
Thank you.
Let us say what we believe in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father, the Almighty. Let us turn our hearts to God, our breath and life, as we pray for the church, the world, and all who are in need. O God, for whom we wait, come quickly to your people, bring your salvation, and center us in hope found only in you. Deepen our faith through meaningful worship, and send us out with your justice and truth. Hear us, O God. We pray for Daniel, our bishop, Elizabeth, our presiding bishop, Adam, our pastor and conference dean, all pastors, deacons, and all who ministered in Christ, and for all the holy people of God. Hear us, O God. O God, for whom we watch, we glimpse your power in rushing water and your beauty in the darkening night. Restore this creation and provide clean water to all people and animals. Save us from foolish, wasteful living. Hear us, O God. O God, for whom we long, let justice roll down like waters on all nations. Bless citizens with wise leaders. Save your children from war. We pray for the veterans of this community, that they are supported and loved. Hear us, O God. Together we pray with and for our sisters and brothers in the Holy Land, lifting up prayers for the peace of Jerusalem, of Israel, and of Palestine. Bless Palestinians and Israelis who dare to take risks for peace. Guide and refresh all those who accompany them. Hear us, O God. God of love and God of compassion, your people are in distress. We rely on your presence and care to sustain those who are in pain and in a state of fear. We pray for your care for the people of Lewiston, Maine, as they mourn the loss of loved ones. We pray for peace and comfort and community. Hear us, O God. O God, in whom we hope, we pray for all who are in need. Provide for those who experience homelessness or hunger. Support the under or unemployed, and comfort any who are suffering this day, especially Charlie, Justin, Susie, Donna, John, Robert, Joellen, Carol, Scott, Pat, Dixon, John, Debbie, Candace, Cheryl, Carolyn, Phyllis, Dave, Harry, Theodore and his family, Cheryl, Rick, Janet, Bill, Jessica and her twins, Wesley and Wyatt, the family of Glenn Wilcox, and our homebound. Hear us, O God. O God, for whom we listen, inspire the music ministry of our congregation. Fill our worship with songs to proclaim your greatness. Help us to sing and dance with joy and tell boldly of your salvation. Hear us, O God. O God, in whom we remain, we remember our beloved ones who have died, especially Glenn, and now live in you. Bring comfort and the assurance of new life to all who grieve. Hear us, O God.
We offer our spoken prayers to those held in our hearts, trusting in your mercy, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
The peace of Christ be with you all.
And also with
you. Let us share with one another a sign of God's peace.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Holy God, gracious and merciful, you bring forth food from the earth and nourish your whole creation. Turn our hearts toward those who hunger in any way, that all may know your care, and prepare us now to feast on the bread of life, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them unto the
Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. So with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy God, holy and mighty, holy and immortal, you we praise and glorify, you we worship and adore. You formed the earth from chaos, you encircled the globe with air, you created fire for warmth and light, you nourished the lands with water, you molded us in your image, and with mercy higher than the mountains, with grace deeper than the seas, you blessed the Israelites and cherished them as your own. But also we, estranged and dying, might be adopted to live in your spirit you called to us through the life and death of Jesus. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Together as the body of Christ, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
Christ is dying. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
With this bread and cup, remember your Son, the firstborn of your new creation. We remember his life lived for others and his death and resurrection, which renews the face of the earth. We await his coming when, with the world made perfect through your wisdom, all our sins and sorrows will be no more.
Amen.
Holy God, holy and merciful one, holy and compassionate, send upon us in this meal your Holy Spirit, whose breath revives us for life, whose fire arouses us to love. Enfold in your arms all who share this holy food. Nurture in us the fruits of the Spirit, that we may be a living tree, sharing your bounty with all the world.
Amen. Come, Holy Spirit.
Holy and benevolent God, receive our praise and petitions, as Jesus received the cry of the needy, and fill us with your blessing, until needy no longer, and bound to you in love, we feast forever in the triumph of the Lamb, through whom all glory and honor is yours, O God, O Living One, with the Holy Spirit in your Holy Church, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread,
and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us.
And lead us not into temptation,
but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Come to the banquet, for all is now ready. You may be seated. This time I'd like to invite forward those who are helping with the distribution of the sacrament and those participating in Children's Church. We'll be receiving the sacrament kneeling around the altar. An usher will release you forward with trays of glass cups. Just receive a glass cup as you come forward. We offer both consecrated wine and grape juice. Travis, our assistant minister of the chalice of consecrated wine, and usher of the chalice of grape juice. Just indicate your preference when you're at the altar. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. Christ is present here and he offers himself to you.
Please rise.
The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you, keep you in his grace.
Let us pray. Gracious God, in this meal you have drawn us to your heart and nourished us at your table with food and drink, the body and blood of Christ. Now send us forth to be your people in the world and to proclaim your truth this day and evermore through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen. Announcements for the good of the community.
Good morning, everyone. I come with a happy announcement, actually. At least I think it's wonderful that we get to help three families. Now, we've received these families through the Cardington-Lincoln school system. And even though we have given to Cause of the Month, there are a lot of items and a lot of children on this list for the three families. So I have divided everything up into different items with a code for the child because we didn't want to put the child's name on there. And you will find these little tags that you can purchase, the items, right across from the coat room, the hallway as you're going into the fellowship hall. And you'll look up on the bulletin board, take a tag and cross off your item that you will be purchasing. That would be a great help. You will be taking the items and putting them in the coat room after you purchase them. I will have a box there. It is not there yet, so don't panic, but there will be a box there for you to return your items to. We do need everything in the box that Sunday, December 3rd, by noon. I'm making a hard deadline on that, because whatever is not purchased or whatever we do not have at that point, I and other people will go out and purchase those items. So please make sure that you receive get those items before December 3rd. Also, just a little hint, if you have any action teams, this is a great way to use your action team. If you need to know how to word it or help to apply for that, I will be more than willing to come over to your home or do whatever you need to help you get through doing the application for that. Also, I have been perusing the Black Friday and the sales that have been happening right now, and Walmart has tons of Barbie stuff and board games for like $5. So just to let you know that Walmart, Meijer, Kohl's, all that is on sale right now. So that's why I wanted to get these out there now while the sales are happening, okay? So thank you very much. Come see me if you have any questions.
Just a reminder, immediately following our worship service, we have our annual meeting. So among the wise, you're going to be locked in, right? You're not locked out. You're locked in. So stay put. We'll be started shortly. As Christ sends us out into the world, let's recite the mission God has given us. St. John, Lutheran Church, centered in the Word, strengthened in the sacrament, sent in the community to share the love. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever.